والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise for Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who strive to follow in their footsteps. Welcome, my dear viewers, brothers and sisters, to another episode of Quran and Science brought to you from Huda TV. And today we'll be speaking more about the wind, maybe the scientific cause of the wind, the importance of the wind, and also the risks and hazards from the wind. For this, we have with us in the studio Professor of Geology Zaghloul Al-Naggar. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
I'd also like to introduce my dear guest for this episode. For questions regarding this topic, we have with us Abdul Halim Khalil and Abdul Rahman Ismail. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show. Before we move on to further discussion and further explanation of the topic mentioned, I'll provide you with this holy verse from Surah Al-A'raf. Please listen to it and we'll return back.
وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون.
It is he who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings before his mercy, till when they carry heavy laden clouds, we drive them to a land that is dead, then cause rain to fall upon it, bringing forth every type of fruit. Similarly, we shall bring the dead to life, so perhaps you may be mindful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're watching Quran and Science. And first, I'd like to ask my dear brother Abdul Halim Khalil, what is the meaning that you're getting from this verse, this holy verse?
The meaning is, like everything else, Allah sends the rain, like all the rizq, to His slaves, to His worshippers. And when the cloud becomes heavy, the rain falls on land which may be dead, but Allah makes it alive.
So you think
again.
The wind is the cause of this?
Oh man, the wind is what ties it all together. Mm-hmm. Takes it here, wherever Allah sends it.
What is the religious meaning that you're getting from this verse?
And it's a reminder that everything, we're dependent on Allah and everything.
Yes.
And we should not take for granted even the breath that we have. Allah sends it. The oxygen.
It's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The rain, He sends it. The wind, yes. He sends it. Everything is completely 100% dependent on Allah and nothing else.
Okay. Abdurrahman?
Allah is describing the wind as agents that bode well for human beings. Like they are heralds of good news when they, as they are the carriers of clouds. Mm. And as my brother has mentioned, the wind carries clouds, and then when it becomes heavy at with some scientific operation, the rain falls and turns the dead land into a green area.
To find out about this scientific operation or process of having wind and rain, we'll move to Professor Zaghloul for further explanation.
In the name of Allah, our Creator, the Creator of the universe and of everything that's in it, I greet you all in our Islamic way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, blessings and mercy be with you all. The main message of this verse is the parable between the bringing up of a green shoot from within a germinating seed buried in the soil, and the resurrection of dead bodies from the soil. This is the main message of this ayah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that in as much as He can bring forth a green sheet, a green shoot from within a germinating seed buried in the soil, as rain comes down, falls down on that soil, He will definitely on the day of resurrection will send a special rain from which every dead body will be resurrected from a seed that's left behind from his decaying body. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted to have said, كل بني آدم يبلى إلا عظما واحدا هو عجب الذنب منه خلق وفيه يرك. Every human being, actually his body will decay, the body of every human being will decay, and the earth will eat everything of that body, water and minerals and flesh and everything, and except for a small bone that's found in the last tip of the vertebral column, which is scientifically known as the coccyx. And he said, this tip never decays. It will remain. And on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, Allah will send down a special rain by which every dead body or every person who lived on the surface of that planet or every animal actually lived will be resurrected from that seed that was left behind in exactly the same way any plant will grow from its own seed. And this statement is unique among the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because although many Muslim scholars actually could not understand the meaning of the hadith, and even some people try to negate it, you see, I was surprised to find a German scientist from the University of Humboldt in Berlin who verified this hadith scientifically, experimentally, and proved every word in it to be absolutely correct without knowing the hadith. He was studying the embryological development of the amphibians.
Yes.
He noticed that once the ova of the amphibian has been fertilized, it starts to divide until it becomes like a berry, a small berry, you see,
yes,
with lots of divisions in it. And actually they call it a berry-like structure, mm-hmm, you see. And this berry-like structure is two-layered, an ectoderm and an endoderm. And on the 15th day of the age of this fertilized ovum or embryo, he notes that there is a thin line that appears on the surface of the ectoderm. He wondered, what's the function of that line? He kept on observing it until he saw that all the ectoderm cells passed by that line to specialize. They change into lung cells, heart cells, kidney cells, you name it, you see, muscles, bone cells, and the like. So he called this line the primary streak, or the organizer. He tried to cut that line and implant it in another embryo. It grew as an individual being on another axis. He tried to crush it down and embedded it into a new embryo. It developed. He boiled it until, for 2 hours actually, until he thought it's absolutely dead. And he injected it into an embryo.
It also didn't developed.
He actually burnt it until charring, you see. And he embedded it into a new embryo, and it did grow. So he proved that it is the origin of all the body, all the organs of the body, and that it can never decay. It will remain, yes, eternally. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ يَبْلَى, every human being will vanish. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ إِلَّا عَظْمًا وَاحِدًا, except for a single bone. عَظْمًا وَاحِدًا. And he was asked, what's that bone? He said, it's a seed-like bone at the end of the vertebral column, في نهاية العصعص, as if he said, at the end of the coccyx, exactly. And he said, this will never vanish. And on the day of resurrection, Allah will send down rain, and every person, every animal that lived on the surface of that planet will grow by that rain, mm-hmm, in exactly the same parallel any plant will grow from its own seed. And to me, this hadith alone can be a living testimony for the Prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a living testimony that he was not speaking this out of his mind, but this is a knowledge that was revealed to him through Allah, through the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, 14 centuries ago, because at that time, nobody knew anything at all about the primary streak or the organizer.
Just to verify, in this verse you mentioned two important meanings. One of them was the entire cycle of having wind causing rain and rain to the soil and the soil. And we mentioned in the previous episode, وَهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَطْ, and allowing for plants to grow and so on. So this is part of the verse. And the second part you also mentioned about the day of resurrection.
To me, you see, this is the main message of the verse. Mm-hmm. Because we discussed in previous episodes the fact that the role of wind, the role of rain,
yes,
the role of running water in the vegetation of the soil and the development of the plantation. But the main message of this verse here is the parable between a plant growing from within the soil,
yes,
through watering by rain or by artificial watering from its own seed. And, of course, a human being or an animal developing from that seed that was left behind.
Brought back to life.
From the other side, exactly, mm-hmm, in the same parallel. Mm-hmm. And the Quran refers to this on several occasions. He draws the parable between resurrection and the growth of plants.
Yes. Okay, if we took parts of the verse itself, so one of the parts was, is أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا سِقَالًا. So what would this really mean?
Because thin clouds can never be rainy clouds. For a cloud to be capable of dripping rain, it has to be a thick cloud. And we have two main categories of clouds. We have flat clouds that are closer to the earth, that extend for several hundreds of kilometers, and they are thin. And these clouds do not usually carry the load of rain, you see. And we have high clouds, which the Quran describes them as as-sahab al-marqoom, or as-sahab that piling up clouds, you see. And the Quran simulates it by a highly mountainous area, you see. The clouds form in high peaks and low depressions in exactly the same way the Earth's surface can be shaped into high peaks and low depressions. And these are called the cumulus clouds. These cumulus clouds are actually the thick clouds, and these are the clouds that contain thunderstorms, that contain thunder and lightning, contain many ice crystals, actually. And it is the main cause of very heavy and torrential rain.
Okay. Now let's move for a very short break and return back. So stay tuned with us and return back for more discussion about this holy verse. Welcome to this new episode of Focus Point.
The new generation has the habit of reading more than before.
Jewish question was named basically the problem of Jews who lost their function in society.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're watching Quran and Science. And now we move to questions regarding this topic. So we'll first start with Abdul Halim Khalil.
Regarding the thickness of the clouds, how would you know the difference between the thin clouds and other than just its appearance?
Wallahi, the appearance of the cloud itself, you see, the cloud extending horizontally for a large distance, it's usually a thin cloud.
Right.
But when you see the cloud in a patchy pattern, and having a huge thickness. And this thickness actually can be reflected by the color of the clouds. If you get it a dark colored cloud, this means that it's thick cloud. It must be carrying rain. And this fact is even known to the Bedouins in the desert. If he sees dark colored clouds, he says, yes, rain is expected.
Nice. Any further questions? We'll move to Abdurrahman.
Dr. Zaghloul has explained so much in the verse, and he has replied almost all my questions. But there is a simple fact that I wanted to ask him about. Since the Earth is a planet and it belongs to the same galaxy as the other planets in the galaxy, why the Earth has this atmosphere? I mean, you told us before that this atmosphere is a resultant from the reactions inside the Earth.
Yes.
So other planets, they do not have these reactions inside of them?
They do, actually, because there is a unity in the creation. Mm. But some planets will have an atmosphere that is somewhat similar to our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Others will have atmospheres containing different gases, because mm-hmm. Allah has prepared every planet for a role it plays, for mm-hmm. a type of life that suits that environment. So we do not expect every planet to have the same chemical composition and physical characteristics of the atmosphere as we have it on our planet. And the atmosphere of Mars, for example, or Jupiter, or other planets is completely different from ours, because it has been made to suit a certain type of environment, and probably a certain type of life, which we would not know of yet.
So do other planets have wind?
Have wind?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And
because
it's
once you have an atmosphere and you have variation of temperature, you are bound to have wind. Mm.
Okay.
Thank you.
More questions.
And these clouds that have rain, their composition is special to make
plant grow.
To make the rain for the plant grow, or is it the same composition of the thin clouds? And the chemical.
So the question is the composition itself of the cloud, does it differ from the composition of the rain
to make it
back to
more heavy?
Definitely, because you see, the rain is part of the cloud, the composition of the cloud.
Right.
Water vapor is part of the composition of the cloud. The cloud is nothing but a piece of gas that has been charged with water vapor. And the water vapor is so thin that it cannot come down by its own or on its own. This cloud has to be inoculated by dust particles, by some pollens and spores, small pieces of salt, and this would be condensation nuclei around which the water vapor will accumulate until a drop of water is formed and then can come down by gravity.
Excuse me. Sometimes we have clouds and dark weather and rain, and we do have lightning, and sometimes we don't have lightning. Is there a relationship between the thickness
yes.
of the cloud and...
This is a very important point, because this again is beautifully displayed in the Quran. Yeah. And we know now that low-lying clouds that are stratified clouds, as they are called, ashab al-tibaqi, stratified clouds, this is the closer cloud to us. And this is usually thin in thickness and extends horizontally to hundreds and thousands of kilometers. We have what we call the cumulus clouds, and the cumulus clouds are the high-rising clouds that are formed by accumulation. Yeah. So they build these thick clouds with high peaks and low-lying valleys, and when you fly in the plane, you can actually see them as if they are mountainous area. And the Quran describes them as mountains of clouds. It is in these clouds that we get thunderstorms, we get lightning, we get the formation of ice crystals. And amazingly enough, the Quran, this book that was revealed more than 14 centuries ago, relates the phenomenon of lightning and thunder to the formation of ice, or al-barad, these small icy crystals, you see. Mm-hmm. And science has just proved, only a few years ago, that water has got a unique characteristic. If you change it from one form to the other, it releases energy. It releases electricity. So if you change water from a liquid to a vapor, it releases electricity. If you change water from a liquid to a solid, it releases electricity. And the main cause of lightning and thunder is two areas of the cloud that are charged differently. Once they meet, they of course get an electric charge, and you get the thunder as well as the lightning. So, and this only happens in the cumulus clouds. Does not happen in the other clouds, other type of clouds. No.
Okay, Doctor, we need to know more about the importance of wind.
Yes.
We already knew from you about the analogy or the relation between this verse about how it helps to the relation between growing plants and the day of resurrection, having this bone creating human into life at the day of resurrection.
Yes.
If we move back to the other basic and simple meaning that we saw from this verse, which is the wind. What are the importance of wind?
Well, wind play a very important role on the surface of that planet. Wind can redistribute the temperatures or the warmth on the surface of that planet. When you get a warm area, of course, in a warm area, the density of the air is low, and they call this a low area, a low density area. منطقة الضغط منخفض, you see. When you get a cold area, the air becomes more dense, and its density increases naturally. And usually, the air pushes the dense air, which is cold, to the warm air, which is less dense. And of course, by this way, you get the movement of temperature around the globe. So you are actually warming cold areas by hot wind and cooling hot areas by cool winds.
So that was the common question. It was about the waves of temperature. This is the way the waves come to us.
Yes, yes. And this is mainly played by winds. Mm-hmm. And
but it's not usually. Sometimes it comes a very hot wave to countries.
It depends on where it is coming from.
Yes.
If it's coming from a purely desert area, and where there are no water bodies, and then the wind becomes dry and very hot, mm-hmm. and probably sometimes laden with sand particles, you see.
Yes.
If it's coming from a green area, it's usually more wet and more refreshing wind,
yes.
you see, and so on.
Is it controllable?
By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, but the human can't control any of these waves.
You cannot.
Just predict them.
No way.
But we are able to predict them now?
Predict
the hot waves?
Yes, but to control, no.
Yes. And the prediction is limited to a certain duration?
You see, the Quran repeatedly says, هو الذي يصرف الرياح.
Yes.
Allah is the only power that can control the distribution of wind on the surface of that globe. Because this is a very essential factor for making this planet inhabitable. So distribution of wind can distribute temperature, can cause the pollination of different flowers, can create clouds, can cause rain, or can allow clouds to drop rain in wherever Allah wants it to come down. So wind is a very important factor for making this planet an inhabitable planet.
So like you mentioned previously in a previous episode, you said that everything natural stays natural and stays within the authority and control of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
A human cannot change any elements or control anything except by the destruction, as you mentioned.
Yes, if they interfere, they will ruin everything.
Yes.
And that's why this verse in the Quran is a beautiful verse. And all the Quran is beautiful. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. It means ill doing is shown everywhere, on land and on sea. And we say on land, it will cover the atmosphere above the land. We say on sea, it covers the atmosphere above the sea. So this encompasses all the environments of the earth. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس by what the hands of people have done ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا. So that Allah will make them feel and taste part of their ill deeds. لعلهم يرجعون. Probably they may turn back to Allah, come back to Allah and stop making ill deeds on the face of that planet. And it has been scientifically proved that if any system is naturally disturbed, it adjusts itself by itself. But if this disturbance is caused by man, it's left to man to correct.
Yes, exactly, and like what happens in the pollution case.
Pollution and global warming and many of these phenomena.
Right, that was very informative. We thank you very much, Professor Zarul Manwar, for being with us. It was a pleasure to have you here with us at Hudaa TV. And also like to thank my dear brothers, Abdul Halim Khalil and Abdurrahman Ismail, for being here with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This, my dear brothers, we come to the end of this episode of Quran and Science. See you in the next edition. Thanks for watching. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.